Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right, the Holy Spirit says that there's someone that that has had an evil report of polyps either this week or last week, and so I'm going to pray for that because the Spirit of God wants to release you from that evil report. It's not the truth. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over any manifestation of evil or sin that has tried to attach itself to somebody's body. That is illegal. We call you illegal. The Spirit of God wanted me to let you know that that was an illegal motion by the enemy. You've been redeemed from the curse of sickness, sin, and polyps. And so right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command the polyp to cease and desist, to disintegrate, because the name of Jesus is against you. The power of the name of Jesus is against you, and you have to bow your knee. And so you are cast out now in Jesus' name. Now, if that's you, I want you to rejoice for what the Lord has done. For He is good, and He does marvelous things in your life. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to... I have no agenda except for the Lord's agenda tonight, okay? So the Spirit of God is ministering to some folks right now. I mean, He was... some of you were having conversations with Him that have been a long time coming, and so I want to keep that on purpose, and so Stace, keep going. And whatever the Spirit of God is telling you, some of you, He wants to minister freedom and deliverance to some of y'all tonight. There's some chains. I think it was purposeful that we said that the chains are going to be broken tonight, that we sang that. I think that was purposeful. And so there are some of you that the Spirit of God is ministering to right now about releasing you from things that have had you bound, especially for an extended period of time. And we want to give Him the opportunity to be God in your life and in this place. And so let's be purposeful and worshipful. Hold on, Ma. We're recording it, might be.
My love in my faith that I've given to you. You stand on my faith and my love.
The enemy likes to try to convince people all the time that they're not worthy to receive from the Lord because you don't have something. You don't have the faith, or you don't have the righteousness, or you don't have the holiness, or You know, you haven't done all the good Christian works in your life to deserve to be healed. And he's right. It's the first time that he's ever told the truth. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn the righteousness. You didn't have enough faith. You didn't do all the right Christian service things in your life to bring it forth. The only way you can receive it is by grace. It's the only way you can receive it. If you try to earn to get it, what you earn and get is going to be through your natural abilities, which means that it's only going to have natural benefits, which are temporal. But if you get it through grace because of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, then you get an eternal cure. You don't get a temporal aspirin. You get an eternal cure. Jesus sent the disciples forth and he said, I want you to go into these cities and I want you to cure diseases. He didn't say, go give some folks some aspirin. Go relieve some pain. He said, go cure diseases. He's given us the actual right to cure diseases. And I don't think that that's on an individual basis. I think that we as the body of Christ should be standing against things that are trying to come on our world. Ebola is illegal. Cancer is illegal. Cancer is cells that are twisted. They're mutated into illegal shapes, illegal forms that do illegal functions. We are destined to cure this world through the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled for all of us. And so right now I want you, if there's things that have been trying to attach themselves or have attached themselves to your body that have probably persisted, I want you right now with your own mouth, on purpose, I want you to speak against those things. I want you to take the authority of God that's on the inside of you, and I want you to cure diseases. Specifically in you, or if you know that a neighbor that's standing next to you, know if they're dealing with something, then I want you to, I need to cure diseases. So in the name of Jesus Christ, body, I command you to line up in Jesus' name. Things that have tried to attach itself to you, you are purchased. Divine health has been purchased for you, body. Divine health. Which cannot be taken away, which doesn't come and go, which doesn't go through seasons of good and bad, but divine flowing health from the throne room of God itself. And so right now in Jesus' name, body, I command you to operate in the healing power of God. In the healing power of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Symptoms, I speak against you. Diseases, I speak against you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The name above all names. Call them by their names. If they have a name, if you've been told that this thing on you has a name, you speak with your mouth against that name of that thing that is trying to attach itself to you. And I don't care if you had it when you were a kid. It is illegal in a body that's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high, Jesus. We lift your name on high, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Your name is above all names. The name of Jesus Christ stands against you. The name of Jesus Christ is above you. The name of Jesus Christ is the head and not the tail. The name of Jesus Christ is the name by which I was saved. I am saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we proclaim your name in this place. We proclaim your name in this place. Anything that's tried to attach itself to your people now, Lord, we speak your name over this place. We speak your name over these lives, over these minds, over these bodies in Jesus' name to release them from things that have tried to attach themselves to in Jesus' name. Any illegal spirit that's trying to come in this place tonight, I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you out. Command you out. You have no right have no right here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give all the opportunity to the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The Spirit of Christ, it rules and reigns in this place. In this place, there is no other spirits that are allowed to manifest themselves in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I speak freedom over your people. I speak peace over your people right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He can pull Sunday Abaki. He can shit it the key and go and back up a lot. He can go shop a kilomoto sort of a cut the end of the key. Shekundo Roboku Lamanaki and Shiki Lamoto. Kalamato Unsekelepeti Shepoku need to be Kinamoto Sunday. Unka Shabaka. Selemene Ekendo Boko Babaka Sandy. Underabakata Sundu the Bokun Rabakata Mokuri. Eki Shindi Robokun Ramakata Sandaki. Ushimidiki. Reoccurring back pain. You have reoccurred for your last time in Jesus' name. This is it. It's game over for you. This is the last time that you have opportunity to come into these bodies. I command a straight, healthy, and whole back in this place. In this place, in Jesus' name. A straight, healthy, and whole back. A back that is free from pain, that is free from injuries, even in our lives past. God is healing that right now. He's aligning all the vertebrae. He's aligning all the tendons, all the ligaments, all the pieces that go together that make it so that you have a healthy, pain-free back. Right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is doing surgery. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's got a ringing in their ear that's kind of come and gone. Are you here? A ringing, Mom? That is not okay. That's not okay. It doesn't have to come. You don't have to have it. It's not an age thing. It's a devil thing. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing over you right now. Your ears are perfect. Your eyes are perfect. Your body is not a derivative of your age. Your body is a derivative of the Spirit of Christ that lives and dwells in you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. A migraine. Who's had a migraine lately? Somebody's had a migraine lately. Is that you? Your daughter? Praise God. Hallelujah. What's her name? Tasha? Tasha, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we release you from the things that try to attach itself to your mind. Jesus Christ took a crown of thorns pressed into his skull to relieve the pressure of our minds, to relieve the crown of thorns that Adam put on him when he kneeled his knee to the devil. And so right now, we call you out, migraine. We command you to bow your knee the way the devil had to bow his knee to Jesus Christ in the triumphant entry of him into the heavenly places when he had the name above all names with the scepter of righteousness. And he took his robe of glory and the train of it filled the temple. And so right now, migraine, we speak against you in Jesus' name. You are illegal. You cannot stay in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Somebody's been, it started about 4 or 5 weeks ago that you've had like a depressive, it's a depressive spirit, but it's like slowly creeped up on you and you just kind of thought you're just feeling bad. You're just not a happy person, and so you don't, for some reason, you just don't have joy, and that's actually like a spirit of depression. Are you here tonight? It's been a while. Is that you? Praise God. Is that you? Okay, well, the Lord wanted, and it wasn't that that you were necessarily depressed right now. What he wanted to say was that you've kind of dealt with that, like ups and downs, like it'll come and go and come and go, and it'll come and you'll fight it off and it'll go. The cycle of that is broken. You're no longer under the authority of depression returning. When you're set free, who the Lord has set free is free indeed. And the gifts and the promises of God are without repentance. And so when he's gifting you tonight freedom in an eternal way, and you're done with it, it's the last time you'll ever deal with it in Jesus' name. His gifts and his callings are without repentance. You're free in Jesus' name. All right, Tim, come up here and stand with your daughter. You guys are perfect. You've been convinced that some part of salvation didn't necessarily take place in you, and so what everybody else has got, you didn't get for some reason. So everybody else got a better dose or a better taste of salvation. You're just hoping and praying one day maybe you'll get that full dose. Okay, well, today's one day. And there's no more hoping and praying after today. Today, you are going to be fully persuaded in your heart that the singular dose of salvation that it takes to set you free from all things that the law could not set you free from is going to set you free tonight. And there is never going to be another day that you deal with a spirit of lack in the sense that you are lacking something from your Heavenly Father. He has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Your salvation is completed. Spirit, soul, and body, right now, today, is a declaration from the Spirit of God. There is nothing that you lack. At this moment, you will be fully convinced of that. Before, you knew it in a mental ascension kind of way. You knew it in your head. But at this point, right now, I speak to your hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. The completion of salvation is an inward knowing. It's a gnosko knowing. It's an intimate, experiential. You know it more than you know your own name. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to your hearts, you are free from the thoughts that you were lacking something in salvation. God gave you everything there was to give, and your cup runneth over. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And your conversation will not be about things that you need any longer. Your conversation will be about things that you have. Your thoughts will not be about things that you need any longer. Your thoughts will align themselves with the knowledge of what you have. Your speech, the way you carry yourself, your confident level now is rising in Jesus' name. You are free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Declare that. I want you to say it with your mouth. I'm free, I'm complete, and I'm whole because of what Jesus Christ has done in me. Praise you, Jesus. And I want you to remind yourself of that on a daily basis. Even right off the bat in the morning. Look yourself eyeball to eyeball in the mirror. First thing, walk into the bathroom and say, you are free and complete and whole because Jesus Christ lives in me. All of Jesus Christ came to live in me. He didn't just send his left leg and his foot and his hand. It was all of Jesus Christ that came to live in you. So tell yourself evermore, purposefully, that you are complete and free and whole. Complete and free and whole. You're complete and free and whole. The work of salvation is completed. It has set you free, and you are made whole in Jesus' name. For some of you, the Lord's wanted to minister to you like this for weeks and months and months and months, but you've been busy and things have been coming and just like, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, and you never get a chance to slow down. And so he like totally canceled my plans for tonight just because you're so important that he wanted you to just have some time with him where he comes and does some things in your heart that were never possible because of your busy lifestyle. And so we're just going to wait on him. We're going to rest in him. We're going to allow him to do whatever he wants to do. If you need to sit down or move around or whatever you want to do, but we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to like be a surgeon in your life tonight and do some things that he's been wanting to do for a long time. Praise you, Jesus. If you have an unction in you and you know that somebody is being healed or you're being healed of something, I want you to let me know so that we can get it. You might be calling out something that for somebody that's not here. Listen, folks, listen to us, to what we're doing here in Thailand, in the Philippines. They listen to us in Texas. They listen to us in Indiana. They listen to us in Wisconsin. They listen to us in multiple places in Illinois. Multiple people in these places. They listen to us in Pakistan. These are all places that I hear from people specifically saying that they are listening to us, and not just like popped in one time, but they listen to us on a regular basis. So God might be ministering something to your heart right now that goes to someone that's not even here. And so I don't want somebody to get left. You know, there's hundreds or maybe thousands of people that are going to be listening to this. And so I don't want them to be left out. If the Lord's speaking to your heart about something, you be bold about it and declare it. It might be somebody's salvation. It might be somebody's healing. You're so wonderful. Somebody was just praying lately with the Lord, asking Him for some confidence to do some things in life, like big things in life. And His answer is, yes! You can have all the confidence you want. He's telling you to bring the biggest container that you have in your house to the fountain, and He'll fill it up. If that container is confidence, if that container is healing, whatever that container is, He's a fountain of living water that's bubbling up. And He wants you to find the, I literally like seen this, He wants you to find the biggest container you can possibly find. Or even like Elisha told the widow woman, go borrow containers if you have to. Whatever you got to do, find the biggest container you can carry. Get a wheelbarrow, whatever it takes, and bring it to the well and fill it up with whatever you want. And He specifically was telling me that it was somebody asking for confidence. That they don't think they can do it. They don't think they can be that kind of person or be in that kind of position or launch out in that kind of way because, you know, you're just little old you. No, in Jesus' name. You were little old you, and then you got filled with God. A universe big God. Hallelujah. You have confidence right now. The righteous are bold as a lion, and the wicked flee from you. Hallelujah. Somebody's had some financial pressures that have been mounting, like slowly. God showed me a picture of like a trash heap where people just were kept putting trash on it. And then you finally got to the point where like you were overwhelmed. Like the pile's too big. There's no way to deal with that. And God wants you to know. He told me, it's kind of comical the way He told you. God wanted me to tell you that anything that God places value on has value. You know, like if God will say that this yellow metallic rock is gold and it's very valuable, then for the next 6,000 years, mankind fights over a yellow metal rock. So what God is saying, that whatever He wants to call valuable in your life, whatever skills and talents and abilities that are in your life that He wants to call valuable, the world only has it only has to line up with that value system, because God is the one that creates the real legitimate value systems. God says that gold is gold and it's worth something. And then all of mankind says, okay, gold is worth something. God says these precious stones, they're not just pretty, they're actually valuable and they're worth something. And so now all of creation values precious stones. Otherwise, they'd just be glittery rocks. So whatever God has placed in your life purposefully to add value to you, as long as you agree with His value system, then you can create your own wealth in life. And so then these financial pressures that have been piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up, God wants you to let you know that if you want to call that pile of financial stress, if you want to just go ahead and call it valuable, God will change that pile of stress and He'll change it into a pile of value. He'll change it from a pile of garbage into a pile of gold. It says, given that shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give into your bosom. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, things will come into your life. And most of us have had things pressed down, shaken together, running over, stress and misery and bills and problems. But the Lord has said tonight He's going to break some of that in your life, so that pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall the financial blessings and the release of His power in your life is going to be coming, and it's coming in through divinely inspired men and women in your life. Divinely inspired men and women in your life. What that means for some of you is you might need to cut off some of the contacts that you have during the week with non-divinely inspired folks. Because some of you have allowed other people to dictate to you what the value systems of your life are. And that's wrong. God is the only one that has the right to dictate to you the value system that's in your life. Because He's the only one that knows the value of who you are. Nobody else knows your value. God created you. He's the only one that knows your actual legitimate value. Praise you, Jesus. Some of the things that you might have considered to be like quirks and weirdness, like you're just wired a little different and you're kind of quirky about some stuff, the Lord might want to let you know that what you call quirks, He calls unique. You know, unique is very valuable. Have you ever seen some of Leonardo da Vinci's paintings? Totally ugly, in my opinion. I'm not an artist. But because it's Leonardo da Vinci and because it's whatever, what it has whatever strokes and whatever artistic value that people have placed on it, regular looking paintings, or, you know, like the Mona Lisa looks like an ugly dude. But yet it's one of the most valuable things on the whole earth. It's because men have placed value on something that really, to the natural, doesn't look like it's very valuable. God can do the exact same thing in your life if you allow Him. He can take things that you think are just quirky or mundane, and He can add value to those things and create in you a value system that is free from mankind's ability to dictate to you what your value is. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of those people that are trying to dictate to you what your value is and lower you, they are people that have no value themselves. Jesus said, the blind lead the blind. Don't let the blind tell you what your value system is. God's the only one that has the spiritual insight to dictate to you what your value system is. On the day of Pentecost, it said when the Holy Spirit landed on these folks that it was like flames of fire on them. And some of you thought that you got like the Bic lighter of fire on you. You know, you got this little light of mine, and it's not true. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the man that had the Spirit without measure. Without measure. That's like atomic energy. The Spirit without measure. And the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now dwells in your mortal body. That was the flames of fire that landed on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit in you is not a Bic lighter, dear Jesus. The same flame that's going to purge the whole earth. You have a fire in you. You have an intensity in you that is able to consume anything, any single thing that needs to be consumed. When Elijah called fire down out of heaven, it burnt up the offering, it burnt up everything around the offering, and it actually licked up the water, it says. It actually licked up the water. I was walking on a beach one day down in Galveston, Texas, and I came across a patch, and it looked like a bunch of broken glass. And so I was like perturbed. I'm like, man, look, some punk was over here goofing off and drinking, and they broke all their beer bottles here, and I'm walking down this beach barefoot. I'm on a beach. And so I was just kind of standing there looking all disgusted. And so I kind of, but it looked kind of funny, so I bent down and I picked a piece up, and it was really, it just wasn't normal looking, like broken glass looking. And I was looking at it, and my buddy who lives down there, he came by, he's like, what are you doing? I said, looking at this broken glass, but it doesn't, he's like, that's not broken glass. I'm like, what is it? He goes, that's when lightning hits the beach, it turns the sand into glass. I said, no way. I was looking at a pile of sand turned into glass through the natural process of lightning hitting the beach. And it was beautiful. See, now what I thought was broken glass from some punk playing on the beach, now I looked at it again. It was rainbow colors. It was green and white, and it had some like teal. It was beautiful. And I was like, man, this is what lightning will do to sand. What will the flames of the Holy Spirit do to already somebody that has intrinsic value, you and I? If that's how beautiful it can be, if just a random bolt of lightning hits a dirty Galveston beach, what can the fire of God, the Holy Spirit of God, do in your beautiful, precious heart? Praise Jesus. Shandarabuk. It says in Hebrews, and it's talking about what Jesus said. He was quoting from Psalms chapter 40. He said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. God prepared a body for Jesus to bring salvation to the world. God has prepared you to be infilled by Jesus. A body that was prepared purposefully for the point of bringing salvation to you. A body God prepared for Jesus. And He's prepared a body for you. He's prepared a life for you. Allow Him to speak that into your heart. There's none like you. There's none like you. Shine the cool. Another cool. Jeremiah 32:39-38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, which means worship, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them, to do them good But I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. He's put worship and adoration in the center of your heart. This is a covenant that God has made with you. He will not turn away from you, and He will do you good. We hear people say all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You know, He's promised to do you good. Not just be good, but to actually do good in your life. To do good for you. What a joy. Hallelujah. He's covenanted. You know, God doesn't break His covenants. Even if you break your part. Because He makes His covenants with Jesus Christ. And Jesus will never break the covenant. Dennis, you got something?
I just sense that someone's really struggling with your past. I don't really know exactly how, but what the Lord gave me was Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming, and he heard about all the miracles that were happening, and yet he was a tax collector, you know, in the society, the most wicked of all. And he just looked at himself like he was the most wicked, and yet he wanted to see Jesus. And so he ran ahead and he jumped in the sycamore tree and climbed the sycamore tree. You know, the Bible says he was a man of small stature. And, you know, a sycamore tree, a biblical sycamore tree, had like figs on it and stuff. And it was, you know, real low hanging. And you had to climb. It was a good climbing tree, but it was probably the worst tree that you could find to be able to see. Because if you got in it, you couldn't see that you were there. You know, there was a lot of branches and leaves, and it's kind of like a mulberry tree, Greg. It's kind of like a mulberry tree. And, you know, Zacchaeus he didn't want Jesus to see that he was looking at him, that he was looking for Jesus, because he didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel like he could be the one that Jesus would love. And, I mean, we know the story. He ended up inviting Jesus into his home. And of course, the religious were all upset that Jesus was spending time with the tax collector. And, you know, Zacchaeus didn't go through some elaborate prayer, you know, where he begged God to forgive him or begged Jesus to forgive him. But Jesus said, today salvation has come to Zacchaeus, I think. It's something like that. Today salvation has come. And, you know, everything that he had done was obliterated. And yet Zacchaeus still wanted to pay. He said, well, I'll give half of what I have to the poor, and if I've wronged anyone, I'm going to make it back. And I don't remember what it says, like tenfold or twofold or twice as much back or something, like if I've wronged anyone. Well, we all know he wronged people. So pride was still there. But Jesus said, salvation's come. Jesus didn't say, you need to go do all this. But see, still in his heart, he wasn't completely recognizing the fact that salvation had come. Because he was still trying to do something to make it right. And there's someone here that you're feeling like you've got to do something to make it right. And God is saying, no. You're already right. Salvation has come.
Amen.
Salvation. Just accept it. Just receive it. Just embrace what He's done. There's nothing that you can do that'll make it right. He's made it right. So you can't make something right that He's already made right. It's already right. you're right with Him. That's what righteousness is, right standing with God. You are right. So if that's you, just let it go. You're right with God. If you've trusted in Him, you're right with God.
We get convinced all the time by our lives that we have some kind of requirement to earn the things of God. And I know it, you know, a lot of times we get that from even the church. And you know, it really hurts God's heart. It just hurts God's heart to know that His children think that the only way they're going to get something from Him is by earning it. What kind of a dad? What kind of a father only has relationship and fellowship with his children based upon what they are? I can hear like the heart of God just breaking, like almost like he's weeping that somehow the body of Christ has gotten to the point to where they think that their relationship with God is based upon them. It was based upon your birth, your new birth. It was a birth work. It was a birth work of God. He conceived you, He formed your parts, and He gave birth to you. You're accepted with Him because of your birth. You just have this burning desire to have to do something for God. Why don't you just worship Him? I mean, just love Him. If you just are just compelled, if there's just no, you just can't accept this grace, God. You can't just accept it, getting it by mercy, just getting it because He loves you, or getting it by grace. If you have to do a work for God, if you just have to do something, fine. Worship. Just love Him. Just tell Him how wonderful He is. Thank you. Thank Him for all the amazing things He's done for you. Man, and you'll find your heart being set free. Then grace will just flow into your life. It'll become natural. And you'll realize that it was always meant to be easy. It wasn't meant to be difficult. Jesus. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's easy to carry. It's very light. But you have to come to me. Hallelujah. We come to you, Lord. We come to you, Lord. Your yoke is easy. Your burden.
Ready at any time. You are not wild with the sword. You're very cautious with it. And I'm very happy for it. Like I said, you've come a long way since I've known you. And Larry, you're a farmer, not only by title, but you're a farmer in your heart. Is even better. And you work the soil and you plant seeds. But you also plant the seeds of God. And you don't, your plow is very sharp. You can't plow with a dull plow. It has to be very sharp. Yours is very sharp. And you don't scatter your seeds. You're very careful where they go. And after you leave, the rain falls from heaven. And whenever we talk about water from heaven, it's the Holy Spirit. Because you have to have that in order for those seeds to grow. And you're so confident in what you do that you don't have to look back to see where those crops are producing. Because they already are. And you don't need worry about them.
Crazy.
You've got so many crops behind you that are reproducing and reproducing and reproducing tenfold.
Hallelujah.
You dare? This will be the last one.
No.
You dare? You are wise beyond your years.
Amen.
And you have giftings, and you know you have giftings too. You will have more giftings appear as you get older and realize that you do have them. A flower is a very beautiful thing, but it all starts as a bud. And as it slowly opens up, it reveals its beauty. And I see that beauty in you. That your giftings will come, oh my gosh, throughout your lifetime. About the time you discover one, it might be years later, even a decade or two later, get another one. Thank you.
folks feel like they've been waiting on God? Like waiting and waiting and waiting. And you had a wrong idea of wait. The wait in the Bible is not wait as in no, wait. Don't go there. The waiting in the Bible is like a waiter, like a waitress at a restaurant. What you've been doing in time, the devil has been using it as complacency, and so therefore it has given him right to allow things to persist in your life. And what the Lord would like to tell you is stop waiting like time and start waiting like minister to the Lord at the table. You know, come to the Lord's table and say, hey, can I refill your water? You need some more ketchup? And those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength like the eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Those that wait on the Lord, those that serve the Lord and serve His table. And remember, in Psalms 23, it says that He makes a table, He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, literally just to tick them off, just to tick off your enemies. He makes a big, beautiful, bountiful table, and then He spreads it out in front of your hungry enemies just to jack them. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we wait on You. We determine to biblically wait on You instead of allowing complacency to settle into our lives and just pressure us into just dealing with, just allowing ourselves to deal with problems, because we're just going to wait out the problems. We're not going to do that anymore. When sin, evil, sickness, depression tries to rise against You, Lord, we know that You're raising up a standard against it. You're raising up a standard against it. And so then we are going to be concentrating on waiting on You. We are going to seek first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness. And then all of these other things You're going to be working out behind us. Just like that prophecy for Larry, you're going to be planting seeds and God's going to be bringing the harvest. You plant the seeds, God bring the harvest. And it says, I think it's in Amos, it says, when we start getting comfortable with this and we start getting real good with this, there's going to come a time in your life that the crops are going to actually overtake the plowman. That the harvest is going to come up and be right behind the plow guy. In other words, you're going to have to start plowing faster because the harvest is coming quicker than you're plowing. Oh, that's an awesome, awesome, awesome truth. Praise You, Jesus. That is radical, but Lord, we believe it. We believe Your word is true. We believe these are our principles. These are for us. These are promises for us. Your dearly beloved, Your kids. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise You. All right, is there anybody that wants anything specific that we didn't call out? If you'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never had that. If there's something that you need prayer about that we didn't call out under a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, if there's something that you need to have ministered to in your life, that you came here tonight to get. I don't want anybody to leave empty-handed. There's something that you came to get tonight. The Lord wants to fill up your cup and make it run over. Okay, so I don't want anybody to leave here and still have a lack in their life. The Lord wants to meet you right here. He stopped everything He was doing in heaven. Everything He was doing, controlling the whole universe, just to come and meet with us tonight. Just to minister to whatever needs you got. And so I'm impressing upon you, take advantage of it. God's a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on anybody. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your power and your anointing that was here with us tonight. And we know that when we leave, we don't leave it here. Because that anointing that came here came through us. And we know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Behold, you're with us even until the ends of the world. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for comforting us every moment of every day. Being our advocate, being our encourager, being the one that helps us to understand the voice of Jesus and the Word of God. We're so thankful, Holy Spirit, that you have chosen us to live in. That you have blessed us with your presence. That you've blessed us with your life. That you recreated the temple on the inside of us, the temple that we tried to tear down with our past, you created in beauty. It makes David's temple look shameful with how beautiful the temple is that's on the inside of us that you live in. Thank you so much. Father, we adore you, worship you, magnify you. Tonight, changed our belief system of what it means to wait on you or wait with you. And so now we're going to operate in a new way in relationship with you, in a more deep and intimate way. We're going to allow you to speak to us. We're not going to be so busy in life from here on out. We're making this determination to not be so busy that you can't talk to us. There's nothing or no one on earth that we desire beside you. And there's none in heaven that we want beside you. From now on, our focus is aligned with your focus, which is just gazing into one another's eyes. Desire to be your servants, and you just keep calling us friends. Hallelujah. We pray this to you, Lord, tonight in unity through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we pray in the name of our Savior and our Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, if there's something that you need, don't leave until you get what you need. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So sweet here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.